live from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, retired Green Beret and manager of Force Blue, Dan Henderson.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Ted Winslow. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
A funny thing happened on the way to tonight's show. Actually, that's part of what the title of last week's show, actually. And maybe that's why I'm thinking of it. And actually, that relates to what I'm about to say. Wow, I'm blowing my mind here. Okay, so the funny thing that happened is I opened up, you know what a mason jar is? One of those jars that it had homemade jam in it with the lid that screws on top and then the lid that's stuck to the jar. And so I pulled off the lid of the jar that was stuck so tight because it had been, you know, vacuum sealed in there. It was homemade delicious jam and the lid goes flying. And of course, on that lid is all this delicious jam flying through the air and it lands on the floor. Now, you all know what Murphy's Law is. So for those of you who don't know, I looked it up real quick and I found a website that I liked that said it was thoughtco.com. And it said Murphy's Law, the original law is if something can go wrong, it will. Then they go on to list like different things that are like Murphy's Law. You never find a lost article until you replace it, or maybe until you don't need it anymore. Then another one was matter or something will be damaged in direct proportion to its value. So it's funny because it's true, or is it? And that's the thing. The lid with the delicious jam on it went flying through the air and landed on the floor. And I thought what you probably thought, Murphy's Law. Oh no. And I looked down and the jam was on top. Like, how does that happen? Evidently it happens. And I thought, what do I call this? I don't have a law for this. And I was thinking, this has actually happened before, and I've thought this before, and I can't remember what it was, but it's like, if I had a law for it, then I might remember. And then I might say, oh, I don't know, Filippo's Law, and have it land right side up. And so is it true because it happens? Like, does it really happen? Like, does it happen 50% of the time? Or, you know, I don't know. But if we maybe called it something else on the way down as it's falling, maybe it would happen in our favor. Maybe it would happen as we want it. And so I thought it was really interesting because that literally just happened a little bit before the show. And I caught myself with this, that I found out we have two veterans on the show. I knew we had one, but I didn't find out we have actually two. And I found myself right away connecting with the veteran and Dan and saying thank you for your service right away. Like, it came naturally and heartfelt and all of that, especially knowing what he does and has done. And that's kind of the point, is then he tells me what he's doing. And that instinct wasn't there to say thank you for your service, for what he's doing too. And I thought, kind of like the Murphy's Law thing, if I had like an instinct of saying like the positive, if maybe we thanked people for their service, not just when they're fighting bad people, but what about when they're fighting or when they're working to preserve our planet, to preserve life? What if we thank more people? Would more people not only feel thanked, but would we get more people doing it? So I just want to put that out there, like the opposite of Murphy's Law, kind of in almost anything in our life. And just saying. So the man that inspired this part of the conversation is our interview guest, who is a retired U.S. Army Special Forces soldier, Green Beret, with over 20 years of active duty and veteran affairs manager for Force Blue. We welcome and thank Dan Henderson on the Life Changes Show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inspiring that, because I'm thinking, like, you've put your life on the line for America, for the world, and you're putting your life on the line. You're giving your time, you're giving your life to yet another cause. It's cause for cause for cause.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I was saying earlier, my wife, you know, she says I'm a glutton for punishment. So.
Okay. Well, you know, that's funny. And also thank you, because it takes all kinds, right? And interestingly enough, this all started, this whole part of the journey, immediately after 9/11 for you.
Yeah, it did, man. You know, I just graduated high school previous May, and was just kind of fumbling through life, didn't know what I was going to do, never thought about joining the military like once in my life. And then, you know, 9/11 happens, and, you know, I'm from South Georgia. I had no concept of what the Twin Towers were, but what I did know is that, you know, we were attacked. And I felt like I just needed to do something about it, do my part at least, however big or however small that was. And, you know, 2 months later, I was enlisting and, you know, off to basic training and AIT and all that. And, you know, it just kind of kicked off the journey for me.
So I just want to say it kind of seems like we've attacked our planet. We've attacked the marine life, right? So you're back in service kind of in a very similar way, but before we go there, let's talk about some of the things, because not a lot of people, there are a lot of people, thankfully, in the armed services, not a lot of people are Green Beret. So tell us how crazy that is.
You know, if you want to join Special Forces, you go through a process. You know, it's called, you start out with selection, Special Forces Assessment and Selection. When I went through, it was about a month, and you go through there, and they're basically, it's a gut check. You know, it's miserable at times. You do a lot of physical stuff, a lot of mental stuff too. And at the end of it, they tell you if you're good enough to not be a Green Beret, but if you're good enough to continue to train to be a Green Beret. And then from there, the training goes on depending on what your job is, for anywhere from, you know, a year, year and a half to two plus years, depending on what you do. So I finished that, and I wound up going to my first assignment and my first team. And then, you know, it's kind of, you know, you're not the new guy for very long, because by the time you make it to a team, I was a pretty, not senior guy when I made it to a team, but I wasn't like the lowest guy on the totem pole. So the learning curve was a little steep, and a team is 12 guys. So not a lot of people, all, you know, mid to senior level guys, and you're expected to pull your weight. And that's, you know, that's kind of what attracted me to it. From there, you know, it's in and out, you know, deployments, trips to different countries, things like that. I mean, the core, you know, Army Special Forces has a lot of mission sets, but their main one that they focus on primarily, we call it unconventional warfare. And to water it down a little bit, basically that's where, you know, all the stuff that happens before a war kicks off, you know, like before we invaded Iraq or you know, anything else. There were, you can bet there were Green Berets there 3, you know, 6 months, maybe even a little bit earlier, kind of preparing the battlefield for that and setting the conditions to basically overthrow an illegitimate government, like in Afghanistan's case, the Taliban, and you know, help facilitate and support the incoming the incoming government, and then can't kind of transition into like a foreign internal defense piece after that. So it's that's the core mission, and then it kind of morphed in over the global war on terrorism into, you know, we deploy, we go out, you know, we chase targets, we hit targets, we work with partner force. That's kind of what makes us special too, you know, like foreign militaries. You might have heard the term by, with, and through. So it's just a very, very unique place to be. And what I liked about it the most is that, you know, we kind of had a lot of autonomy. We don't go, when we go somewhere, you know, within a battle space or whatever else, wherever we're working at, we don't have top-down driven targets. We basically get there, we look at the, we develop the intelligence picture, and we start generating our own targets and our own missions based on our own analysis. And so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of thought and a lot of planning and things like that that go into it also. You know, and we're divided into different specialties like Halo and dive. I was on a dive team for a bit. I went to Halo school also. But being a diver is kind of what, being on a dive team is a little bit more physical. I liked it a lot. You're just a different breed of guy. Any special operations in any service can tell you, whether it's, you know, MARSOC, Marine Special Operations, or, you know, Air Force Special Operations like the PJs and the CCTs or the SEALs. You know, when you throw water into the mix, it really just kind of, you know, it just kind of exacerbates everything that you're going through. And, you know, one of the biggest things I tell people I learned at dive school was how to keep myself calm subsurface. And what I wanted to do was bring that back to the surface with me and apply it to my life. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do now.
Okay. Before we go there, though, just a couple more things on this. I was reading through your bio, and throughout your career, you attended multiple military schools, including Ranger School, Sniper School, Military Freefall School, and numerous others. And is freefall school, is that like falling out of a plane or something?
Yeah, you know, Halo for...
Oh, that's what Halo is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all right. Wow. Okay, so you actually, from what it sounds like and what you were sharing earlier, it sounds like you've been kind of guided. You didn't have like, oh, I'm going to do this job or that job. It's like your talents and your skills, and, you know, people have guided you, and here you are, right, throughout this whole process?
Yeah, I mean, I had great leadership when I was in. You know, it's like any organization, you have your good leadership and your bad leadership, but for the most part, I had great leadership. And, you know, one of my first mentors in Special Forces, he was, you know, he told me, he's like, just because you've got the tab and the beret doesn't mean you've made it. It's like, you're proving yourself here every day. Mm. So whether it was, you know, going on a deployment or going to a school or, you know, whatever it was, I felt like, you know, I just felt like I'd never really arrived. And I liked being that way, because if you get that way, you kind of come complacent in your lifestyle. And that's not really the attitude that special operations in any branch promotes. You know what I mean? You're always striving for, you know, not the next achievement, but the next. Yeah, I would say like, okay, I've done this. What am I doing next? Or what is my team doing next? Or how am I supporting my team to do this next thing? So that's kind of the mentality that they look for. You know, you're tested on it. You're tested for it. So,
you know, so much of what you were sharing earlier, and I even said to you, have you done motivational speaking yet? Because so much of what you said earlier, what you're saying now, it actually feels like so many of these principles could, and we might be better off if we applied them to life, like that team of 12 that's autonomous and making its decisions and all that. It could be a small business getting started. It could be a family. It could be like a little community kind of thing where the team actually supports each other. Everybody has to pull their own weight, and your job is never done, really, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, we call them ODAs or operational detachment alphas. That's what the teams are. But, you know, if one cog in that wheel is not spinning like it's supposed to, you know, it's going to throw the entire team off. But the benefit of the team is, you know, not everybody's performing at 100% all the time. So, you know, we lift each other up, and not everybody's going to be good at the same thing. So, you know, like I'm good at certain things, but I fall short on something things. So I've got a teammate that comes and picks those up, and we mutually benefit one another. And you know, you hear the term force multiplier. That's really kind of the byproduct of all that, because you get all these. I mean, when I was on a team, you know, I told you I'm like a country boy from South Georgia, but I literally had a guy that worked for like NBC on my first team. You know, he's a doctor now. There's guys that have gotten out and started their own companies. It's just you get so many people from so many, you know, demographics that it just, when you mesh it all together, it just creates something very powerful.
Wow. I'd love to hear more about that. In the meantime, you've already got a lot on your hands. You mentioned your wife earlier. Before we get into Force Blue, actually, you're working with your wife on your downtime, right?
Yeah, we do. So I told Force Blue in the beginning, I was like, I've been in and out the door for the past 20 years, and I've been married for almost that long also. And, you know, so any chance I can bring my family with me on these trips, they can be a part of it. We can be together. We can integrate them. I was like, I'm going to do it. And, wow. And they, you know, they're just all about it. You know, my wife, she's no slouch. She gets down there and she gets, you know, they put her to work. And you know, the first trip that I went on, I brought her with me, and she wound up being like the team mom for all the Gold Star kids for that trip, and just kind of making sure that their needs were met. You know, the weather was kind of, it was cold and things like that, but you know, it's just something that we can be a part of together, and it, you know, it's healing. It's healing for me. You know, she gets to be a part of, you know, I kind of kept a lot of the things I did when I was in the military kind of compartmentalized, because you don't want to bring that stuff home. And, but she, you know, it kind of gets her around, you know, like-minded guys and, you know, like-minded environment with, but now the purpose is, you know, essentially saving our oceans, saving our waterways, you know, saving our planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, we enjoy doing it together. She's been on the majority of the trips that I've been on. So,
well, we're going to literally dive into this. But in the meantime, if you want to look up forcebluteam.org is where you can learn about more of what we're going to be talking about here with our guest, Dan Henderson. A little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we will have Ted Winslow as our performance guest, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All five beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
This is our episode 727 titled Veterans of Special Forces for Special Causes. And our interview guest is retired U.S. Army Special Forces soldier Green Beret with over 20 years on active duty, and he's Veteran Affairs Manager for Force Blue, Dan Henderson. So, Dan, Force Blue was established seeking to address two seemingly unrelated problems: the rapidly declining health of our planet's marine resources and the difficulty returning combat veterans have in adjusting to civilian life. So here you are. Who found who?
So it was a little bit of both, actually. I had heard of Force Blue. You know, Force Blue started years ago. It was literally an idea that was written on a bar napkin by, you know, Jim Ritterhoff, Rudy Reyes, and a couple other guys. And, you know, Rudy Reyes was kind of the, if you know who that is, former Marine Recon. And he's currently on a show on television now. He was kind of like the inspiration for that. You know, how I got into it is I became, towards my last couple of years, I transitioned to working in our dive locker at my unit. And basically all I was doing was, you know, getting guys ready to go to dive school, because it's a pretty rigorous process, and then supporting dive teams. And then I became a recreational scuba instructor and started moonlighting on the weekends teaching scuba. And that's how I kind of got connected to Force Blue through one of the scuba diving agencies, NAWI. And so I went to Las Vegas. I went to the show that called DEMA a couple of years ago. And I wound up meeting a couple, director of dive operations, Angelo Fiore, and a couple other guys. It was kind of like they were vetting me, you know. I had submitted an application and everything else. I was like, well, I'm going to be there. And, you know, these guys will be there. I'll introduce myself. And we talked, and he was like, all right, man, I'm going to give you a shot. He's like, don't mess it up. And I was like, roger that. And so, you know, my first trip was last March, and it was to Vortex Spring, Florida. It was for what we call Ocean Conservation School, OCS. And there's like 12 Gold Star families there, 12 Gold Star kids that were that we were going to teach scuba, open water scuba, and marine conservation. You know, the funny thing about it was two of the kids that were in the program were the kids of a former teammate of mine that had we had lost on my 2013 deployment. So, you know, wow. My first trip, and, you know, Sarah's with me, and, you know, I'm just there to teach scuba. I didn't know, we talk about marine conservation, but, you know, I'd never really given it any second thought. But the education there, there's a guy named Dr. Jay Nichols. You know, you can look his stuff up, but he was there, and he's doing the kind of academic portions of everything. And, you know, you get to see what Force Blue did in the previous years through a project called 100 Yards of Hope. That's also out there on the internet. There's a documentary on it. It's very awesome. And it kind of just opened my mind to, you know, like, hey, you know, you take these guys, these, you know, it's one thing to be a special operations guy, like a Green Beret, you know, a SEAL, PJ, and everything else. But when you're a combat diver, which all, you know, all SEALs are, the PJs, the CCTs, the Marine Recon guys, and not every Green Beret is, it's something that we have to volunteer to do. But when you take those guys and you refocus and repurpose them, it's almost the same mindset that we approach it with. And it's a warrior mindset, but it, instead of, you know, going to war or combat or whatever, it's like, hey, we're fighting for our marine environment. Because what I didn't realize at the time, and through further trips and training through Force Blue, I came to realize, is that, you know, it doesn't just happen at the, you know, the ocean shores or in the ocean. Everything that happens out there, you know, it affects every landmass that we live on, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, I get through the first trip, they're like, hey, you're good to go. And then I go on a training trip last June to the Florida Keys, learn about coral restoration, plant coral. From there, I went on a sea turtle rescue mission. Is probably the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. We're jumping off the boat, catching these sea turtles, all different size, shapes, and forms of them. And we're checking them for a disease, phyboplipoma, that they don't really know. It's like the turtle equivalent of HPV, but they're not really sure on what provokes it. It usually, you know, it goes away over time, but sometimes it doesn't. So it was just doing research on that. Evasive species removal, did one of those in the Salt River in Phoenix. You know, it's just, there's all these, it's like the military. There's all these different ways you can go with it. I mean, the scientific diving portion and the marine conservation, it's just so broad that, you know, I don't think I'll ever learn everything there is to know about it. You know, I don't think anybody will in their lifetime, just because it's so broad. But when you throw, you know, guys like us at the problem, I'll give you, for instance, you know, I did a scientific diving project, you know, in June also, and it was me, a couple SEALs or former SEALs, and a couple former Air Force Special Operations guys. And this nonprofit had laid out, they're like, this 3-day project. They're like, oh yeah, we've got to move all these anchors and blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to take the next 3 days to do it. We literally did it in 3 hours. So, you know, it's, wow. Like now they're having to find stuff for us to do over the course of the next 3 days or the next 2 days. And, you know, I think for the scientific diving community, it just kind of brings a fresh perspective and new motivation to it. And for us, you know, the veterans, it's healing. I mean, there's healing in the water. We experience it when we go out. Our minds are being open to that. And we're also, you know, using very similar skill sets that we used when we were in. So it's, you know, it's very holistic.
I love how you said, after having heard at least a piece of the things that you've done, that the sea turtle rescue thing was one of the coolest things you've ever done.
It was awesome.
That's awesome.
I'll shoot you a video. It's pretty fun.
You're obviously in the right place at the right time. And you know, it begs the question. I'm happy for you. We're happy for you. Like, this is a good place for you. It's good for the ocean. I don't know that people really understand the impact that this makes on our current life and future generations for the planet.
I mean, yeah, if you think about it, you know, less than like 2% of the coral reef in the world is viable, you know, whether it be disease or, you know, whether it's getting bleached out because it's in temperature, water temperature is higher than it's supposed to be. And that affects us at a level that people don't even realize. You know, those reefs are, you know, they're ecosystems for, you know, a lot of fish life that, you know, we, you know, catch and eat and, you know, do stuff. I mean, they've medicines and stuff come from there. And it also, they also protect the shores of the coastlines that we have, that they're on, from hurricanes and things like that. So, you know, it was explained to me, and, you know, I know we kind of went over it, like what people don't realize and what they need to start thinking about are a few different things when it comes to that. And they're very simple. Number one being, you know, we're putting too much in, whether it be pollution or, you know, whatever it is, into the ocean, into the waterways, and we're taking too much out, whether it's overfishing or, you know, mining or whatever, take your pick. And we're not protecting the edge, like the reefs and the barriers and things like that. So, you know, as simple as you can make it, it's like less in, less out, protect the edge. And that was, you know, I learned that from Dr. Nichols, you know, my first trip. And, you know, it's resonated with me on every trip that I've been on.
I like the awareness you're bringing to here. And this is something that we can all start tuning into more and more. It, you know, something that I didn't think a lot about, but that you brought to my awareness is you also take things out that aren't supposed to be there, that people kind of leave there and then they get populated, or like you were talking about snails in Arizona or something.
Yeah, I mean, snails, right? Who thought a snail could be evasive? But yeah, in the Salt River in Arizona, the apple snail is an invasive species. It, you know, it overtakes ecosystems and flushes all the stuff that's supposed to be there out. So, you know, the trip that I did in January, you know, we had a, you know, just a solid group of guys out there, Roger Sparks, Jeff Reeves, Jake Draper, a few others. There's nothing like, when you look at it and you start doing it, there's really nothing like that sexy about it. You're on your hands and knees digging through a couple inches of mud trying to dig these snails out. But, you know, the impact that's having, and we covered maybe, you know, 200 to 300 yard stretch of the river. But the impact that's going to have, you know, is going to be significant in the future. But I mean, it's just something that, you know, if everybody, like we talk about the special operations veterans and things like that, being a member of Force Blue, but usually every project we go on there, you know, we allow volunteers to come out and do certain things and work. And, you know, I think if people would, you know, start coming out and see what actually is going on and seeing, you know, what we're actually doing and how we're actually trying to protect our marine environment, it would just, you know, it would raise the awareness even more.
So ForceBlueTeam.org is the organization that you are Veterans Affairs Manager for. Yep. And so you have actually events throughout the country where you're actually doing something that's for the benefit of the planet and people can volunteer, is what you're saying, right?
Yep. I mean, it depends on what the event is. Some events are closed, but like if there's like a marine debris cleanup or something like that, we'll normally post a volunteer link or information and things like that. I mean, I get all the emails for, you know, all the people who want to either join or volunteer or whatever else. And if there's something going on, you know, I'll send them like an Eventbrite link for it or whatever, you know.
So they can sign up at forcebluteam.org?
Yeah, just hit the contact us and it shoots straight to my email.
Goes to you. Okay. Yeah. So, and then obviously it being a 501c3, people can donate. And then this simple, like breaking it down again, we're putting too much. Go ahead and share that with us.
Yeah, so just real quick, hitting up the donation piece. There's everything's on the website if you want to donate. But my biggest thing, I mean, and you know that helps us out significantly. We work through donations, and you know that's how we get along. But yeah, you know, circling back, you know, even bigger than that, I think it's just people raising people's awareness of what's going on out there. And, you know, like I was saying, you know, less in, less out, protect the edge, you know, we're take less from out there, put less in, and, you know, protect our reefs and our barriers. And, you know, that's kind of where it all starts. You know, if you if we start there, then what can grow from that, I think, is just, you know, it's just going to, it'll take off. So,
well, Dan Henderson, thank you so much for your service, to our country and the world and the planet. Many thanks to you. And then again, forcebluteam.org. If you want to learn more or be involved in some way, donate, go to a volunteer event. Thank you so much. This is exciting. And though the organization's been around for several years, it hasn't been that long. So it seems like there's much growth possibility here for even more exciting things.
Oh yeah, I mean we've got things laid out for the rest of the year. I mean we're starting to, you know, it's really starting to catch wheels, and you know we're almost, you know, we're going to get to a point where there's so much work out there and not enough people. So we're growing.
Okay.
I wanted to thank you for having me on here. It was an honor to come on here and be able to talk about this. I just wanted to thank you again.
It's our pleasure, and I have a feeling we're going to want updates. So, and also being involved more. So I'm in my mind, I'm thinking I need to get on this list for when you're in one of the ocean cities where I am.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Or lakes.
Get you out there.
Yeah. That would be great.
Getting on the list. I'm getting certified.
Put you to work.
Right. Oh, is that right, Mark? I heard Mark. What?
I said, forget getting on the list. I'm getting certified.
Okay.
I'm jumping in.
All right.
The best.
Nice. Nice. All right. Dan Henderson, thank you again. And thank you to everybody at Force Blue Team.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Melissa from Las Vegas. Years ago, you assisted me with my challenges with my daughter, Maggie. She was doing very well with the homeopathic remedies, but has now regressed in a scary way. She has been diagnosed as being schizophrenic bipolar and is presently on hold in a psych ward. She's very angry with me and demanding that I get her released and let her come live with me. I love her very much, and yet I don't know what to do because she has violently attacked me in the past, and I believe she will do so even more now. During these phone calls, she makes vicious threats to me. She is all I have, and I want to help her, but I am very afraid of her. Please help me find the perfect next step.
Dear Melissa, I am sorry to hear that things have gotten worse between you and Maggie, as I am well aware of how much of your time and your finances you have put into this unpleasant situation. Instead of taking her angry and threatening phone calls, I urge you to talk to the people who are working with her and ask them for their advice as to how you can best help her. I do not believe that you need to bring her back into your home, as she sees you as her enemy, and I feel she will make good on her threats and attack you again. As you know, there are residential treatment facilities for this particular illness, and I encourage you to find one for Maggie. It is important for you to put into place healthy boundaries that will provide you self-protection. This is as vital to her well-being as it is to yours. So let's find a way for Melissa to love Melissa just a fraction of the way you love your daughter. I believe that you loving you and demonstrating this love for self to your daughter could also assist her in becoming more self-loving. I urge you to step out of your present victim mode and become the best example to your daughter as possible. Thank you for this question.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Ted Winslow, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
And we're back. Our performance guest is an award-winning producer, best-selling recording artist, and so much more. We're going to get into it a little bit here with Ted Winslow. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on this evening. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you on, and what an interesting coincidence. You are a veteran yourself. You're actually a veteran of a lot of things. You're a veteran musician who learned a lot during your music, your stint as a band member, right?
Band member and studio musician. It was being in the studio playing other people's music for their recordings that I looked across through the glass and got to see what these engineers were doing. And I decided I quickly changed my degree. It turns out that not that far away from me was one of the top three recording engineering programs at University of Colorado, Denver. And I immediately changed my degree over to that.
So not everybody that studies music or plays music makes their way to the kind of music that you're making. And you discovered it probably in the best way possible is to support yourself, right? For you.
Correct. Yeah. I'd realized that the changes that I was having throughout my life and everything and bringing in affirmations, I knew that meditation... That someone was telling me one time, they're like, you know, Ted, you need to sit down and do a meditation. I'm like, okay, how long is that going to take? And they said, well, about 90 minutes. And I'm like, I don't have 90 minutes. And through my studies and everything, I learned a bunch of altered tunings that just go way back in history. And so that just kind of was like opening a box of all new possibilities. And it just took off from there. And so here I am. Like working on my 32nd album.
And music that is currently being used for therapy, being used in hospitals, being used and in personal at home and all of that, actually that people can enjoy and be helped with. So let's talk about, what do you mean by being helped with?
By helped with, it's like, how are we changing a multitude of things, like our human energy field? What is that that could be ailing us, so to speak? One of the things that I get a lot of is people who have insomnia, where they're just not able to sleep at night. And so by listening to binaural beats, much less frequencies. So I'm going to back up here for a second. Those who are not familiar with me, a lot of my albums will have the title of the track, and then I have the frequency behind it. And the frequency is going to be pertinent to that frequency of the track, which is going to change us. So most of the stuff that we listen to in today's world is recorded or tuned at basically 440 hertz. So you'll notice on my tracks that they're going to be different frequencies that they're tuned to. And what I've found through by these tunings is that we're able to, we're oscillatory beings, right? So we're going to self-oscillate with a higher frequency or different frequency. We've been listening to 440 for years, and it's kind of a dissonant one. And so that's where people have been able to move blockages, change their energy. It's worked in hospitals with, I had a client that I've been working with, and he has been paralyzed in his 20s. He was shot. And so he's in a wheelchair. He's now in his 40s. And those who were close to him were saying he was just in a really dark place. And his foot at one point even started to atrophy. Well, they played one of my albums, Angelic Sound Healing, for him. And the leg that was atrophied and curling under started to straighten out. And he was changing there, but listening to the frequencies, and made a miraculous turnaround. So his therapists were amazed at it and started implementing my music into their practices there.
Well, let's get into one of the pieces. We're going to hear a pre-recorded piece. This is Gratitude and Grace. It's already been released, right?
Correct. And it's in 432 hertz.
And it's in 432 hertz, which is the heart chakra?
432 hertz is interesting because it vibrates in the principle of the golden mean, or pi. And it's derived through mathematics, geometry, and numerical series that Leonardo Fibonacci, right? We see it in our human body and animals, plants, and DNA. So it's kind of all-encompassing. It even goes to stock markets and the solar system.
Very nice. Okay. Well, yes, I know about Fibonacci. I didn't get the connection between 432. I'm going to have to look into that, but I'm going to get to hear it along with all of you right now. Here is Ted Winslow's pre-recorded piece, or actually just a short piece of Gratitude and Grace. Thank you. Thank you. That piece is actually 6 minutes and 29 seconds long. It's Gratitude and Grace, and it's already been released. Ted Winslow's music is available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. You can find links at Life Changes Show for Ted, or you can go directly to those sites and put in Ted Winslow, W-I-N-S-L-O-W, or go to tedwinslow.com or find him on Twitter and Facebook. Ted, it doesn't do it justice, does it? You suggest people wear headphones maybe and all of that, right?
Yeah, I prefer doing with headphones. And the reason is that sometimes people, the speakers that we have on our phones, and sometimes even our computer on laptops where a lot of people listen to it in the background, it's better to get the full effect of the frequencies because some of those speakers won't produce what the frequencies are that I'd have on that, as well as the binaural beats will be able to work better through headphones as well.
So one of the funniest things I've heard in a while is you're part of a motorcycle riding club, right?
I have a group that I rode with. I actually took a solo trip. I'm here in Denver, and I took a solo trip up to Alaska, and came back. It was like 5,000 miles in like 12 days. So
I'm trying to picture you're riding with all these okay, set the picture.
So I'm out on a ride going through the Colorado Rockies here with this group of buddies that were doing a hardcore ride, and we stop off for lunch, and they all know that I'm a musician, but they're not really. It's not like, you know, I'm playing the Doobie Brothers or Motley Crue or anything like that. And they're asking, you know, so Ted, what have you been working on? What's been going on in the studio? And I had just come out with an album that's called Frequency of the Fairies. And so when I told them that, all these guys in their leathers just like kind of like put down their forks and they're like, what? And then they're looking around to see if anybody else in the establishment is seeing this. Like I said, this forbidden thing with fairies and frequencies, you know. And so it was quite funny. But they do listen to it.
and they listen to it. That's great. That's great. So you're not playing Motley Crue or anything like that, but you were playing music in the 80s.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
80s music in the 80s.
Yeah, most definitely. I had the long hair and the bangle bracelets and the multi piercings. And you can imagine when I joined the Marine Corps after college, they're like, no, you got to be kidding me. What did you do to yourself?
It sounds like you're very eclectic, and your music is too. We're going to get to hear another piece here in just a second, but just a teeny bit more. This is a huge field, and it's a growing field. For the longest time, it was considered just woo-woo or spiritual, but it's ancient wisdom, and the science is catching up, right, to frequencies and healing with frequencies.
Absolutely, and the best way that I kind of try to equate it to those who don't understand is it's kind of like, we know, like if we're looking at color therapy, that you're going to look at the colors of the spectrum, and that's what red, yellow, blue, violet, orange, green, and indigo. And if you think about there's seven colors there. Well, there's technically seven forces of energy that make up our being, and there's seven notes in modern music, so to speak.
And even color therapy is still new. But tell us about, there was, we can't get into it, but biophotonic energy equipment?
Biophotonic imaging, yes. So I'll try to keep it as short as possible. And I use this so that people were listening to my music. This is the science, and it's on my website. I've done some videos with it. But it's the convergence of the photonics and the life sciences. And basically, in short, it's a technology of generation, manipulation, and detection of light that uses photons and quantum-like particles of light instead of electrons to transmit and process and store this information. And it's measuring our human energy field and our energy. So I spoke earlier about the person who had a problem that looked like it was the side of their mouth. And I know the listeners don't know this, but it can measure real specific to a point in your mouth if there's something going on in your in that, that part of your body.
Wow. And so this, you were playing your music and you were actually watching changes right on the equipment, right?
Right, right. So I'd take a baseline of data, someone who has not heard my music or really didn't know anything about it, and then I would play 6 minutes of a track. Again, beats the 90 minutes of meditation. And so and then I could go back and see how the energy fields were aligning. And then you could go back and do another one and see them start to come back more, because we're our own human energy field. We need to fill in with that, especially if you think with today's society, depending what they're saying on the media, social media, or the fear bombing and stuff, or just a bad day at work, you can get bombarded with that. And how do you stop, replace that energy, get back to the higher vibration, your natural vibration of where you energy flows at?
Mm-hmm. Well, how about with this next piece, which actually is not released yet, so thank you for premiering it here on the Life Changes Show. It's Shields D sharp, right?
Correct.
In 639 hertz. So you're saying that you're going to take this piece onto a whole other level. What are you going to do with it, actually?
So this is on a new album that I'm putting out called Mystical Journey, and this one is actually going to be in surround sound. And so we're looking for the release date for it to come up on March 17th, providing that all kind of goes well, because there's a certain way you have to mix and master it to get it into the Dolby surround sound.
Very cool. Maybe we'll be hearing it in theaters soon, but in the meantime, we'll hear it here, a piece of it, here on the Life Changes Show. Here's Shields D sharp 639 hertz with Ted Winslow on the Life Changes Show. Ted Winslow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I can just imagine it, and I look forward. I'm visualizing it to hear it in a theater someday soon.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Ted Winslow, W-I-N-S-L-O-W, tedwinslow.com. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. We have the links for him at the Life Changes Show page for him, but you could also find his music on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, etc., etc. What a pleasure. Thank you again, Ted, for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. Pleasure is all mine. Appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. And with that, with a big thank you to Ted Winslow and a big thank you to our interview guest, Dan Henderson. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.